Welcome to our All Together worship this morning. We may be few in number, but the Lord is with us. And welcome Peter to our service. It's the first All Together worship he's attended or been involved in since he's been here. And next week he'll have been here a year. Can you believe that? It is absolutely incredible. And it's lovely to see Christine, who has now sat down, having been around chatting. No, she has now left her ministry officially, taking a year out, and then will be called upon to do goodness knows what. She will be doing like Karen did last year and discerning what God has in store for her. And it's lovely to see Eileen with us this morning. And I don't think we've got any other visitors, but welcome all. We are continuing our All Together Worship series of Encountering Jesus, and this morning we're going to be looking at Thomas. We had three birthdays this coming week, but yesterday was Jean Schooling's birthday. We sang for her last week, if I remember rightly. No? Oh, in that case, apologies, Jean. Oh, you weren't here. And this week, we've got three birthdays, actually, on the 26th. And that's Cynthia, Amy Townsend. Linda, please take Amy our blessings. And Victoria, Jean Lewis's daughter. Mega. I'm not sure how you pronounce her surname. So we will sing for Jean. Oh, and Joshie tomorrow, who's 18. Sorry? Oh, Steve last week as well. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. May God's love go with you. Happy birthday to you. Let us pray. We come from a world confused about truth. We come with our own uncertainties. Let us bring the darkness of human understanding into the presence of God, who is light. Let us bring the story of our search for truth and share in fellowship the things we have heard and seen and touched. God, whose light shines in the darkness, shine on us today. God, made known to those who met Jesus, touch us through the experiences of our lives. God, who gave Thomas what he asked, give us what we need, that we too may come to believe. Amen. And we're now going to sing along with the video, I Believe in Jesus. There's one on the front table here, and Linda's got one on her table, so grab that or grab it at the end to punch the hole so you can put your ribbon. And we'll be having communion later in the service, and we'll be doing that slightly different. We'll do it sat in round the tables, and the bread and the wine will be brought to you. But we'll remind you of that when we get to it. So let us pray. Lord, you are such a loving Father. You accept our doubts and embrace our questions like a wise parent, encouraging your children to express themselves, hiding your hurt at our uncertainty, always hoping for the best and seeing our potential. We worship and adore you for believing in us. We confess that we are so often judgmental of others. In particular, we sometimes criticize those who don't share our beliefs. Why do they need proof? Why can't they just believe? Yet we live in a world where little is taken at face value. Fake news surrounds us, and the camera definitely does lie. Therefore, Lord, forgive us when we look down upon the unbelievers, the doubters, and the ones who demand proof. For this is the world in which we live, and the world to which we must proclaim your truth. There is no proof we can offer in these times, except to show our belief in the ways we reach out by accepting and loving unconditionally, by showing patience and forbearance to those who differ from us? Or is it we who differ from them? Therefore, forgive us when we fail to reflect your truths in our daily lives, and let us become testaments to your risen power. May Christ be evident in us and in all that we do. Lord, we thank you for your patience with us, your acceptance of our doubting and questioning, and your assurance of forgiveness. How many times do we grieve your heart with our lack of belief and exasperate you with our lack of faith? Be like a good parent. Gather us to you and answer our misgivings. With you, Lord, there is infinite forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And now, hand over to Peter.
Thank you very much, Ali, for those thoughtful prayers leading us into our theme for today. Good morning, everyone. It is lovely to be sharing with you in my first all-together worship. Now, as a way of introduction to the theme today, if you were here about 10:15 or earlier, Now, you're wondering why Mary, if you've not arrived by 10:15, you're wondering why Mary is laughing. But something very unusual was to be seen. What was it, Mary?
You with a Hoover.
Me with a Hoover.
Tell your wife.
Do you think she'll believe that? Me with a Hoover. Where? In the foyer there. Well, we won't go into that, but that's quite a statement. You don't see that very often. I mean, has anybody seen a clergy member with the Hoover before in the church? I mean, it sounds quite unbelievable. Is anybody not sure about that, whether that happened? I mean, who didn't see that? Put your hand up if you didn't see me with a Hoover this morning. Okay, and put your hand up if you did see me with a Hoover. Oh, well, it's like 50-50, wow. Now, you see where I'm coming at it, don't you? Now, those who weren't here to see it, do you believe Mary? Do you think that happened even though you didn't see it?
Yes, yes.
You do? Well, why do you believe?
It's so unusual.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you trust me and you trust Mary? Yeah. It's my job to tell the truth. Well, you notice, I didn't claim it. I asked Mary to. But you see, there we've just established the two different kinds of believing. Now, Mary believed it because she saw it with her own eyes. And Brenda and Heather, you can believe it, although you didn't see it, because you believe the testimony that it's true. Now, you see, that's the two different kinds of believing, isn't it? And it's the same when it comes to faith. Those who saw with their own eyes Jesus in his life, those who saw him die on the cross, those who saw him rise again, those who saw him go back up into heaven. And then there's the rest of us who haven't seen with our own eyes. We walk by faith and not by sight. But we believe in their testimony and their witness and the witness of Scripture. Doubt and faith. Doubt and faith. I wonder how you see doubt. Is doubt an enemy or a friend? I wonder. It makes you examine what you think. Yeah. Thank you, Glenys. God, if you're there, show me. We're going to hear our Bible story for today, which is taking us back to the Easter story and the story of the resurrection of Jesus and his appearance to the disciples, to the women, and to the men. Those who were in the room at the time of Jesus' appearance, and Thomas, like some of us who just missed out this morning, we didn't see it with our own eyes, but Thomas had a journey to make, as we all do, from doubt to faith. So we're going to listen to that now. Thank you, Heather.
Yes, the reading this morning is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Thanks be to God for these words. Amen.
Our next video was chosen anticipating we might have some children among us, but we are young at heart, aren't we? So we can still enjoy the video that presents the meaning and the story again. Thank you.
Hey kids, have you ever doubted a crazy story? Like maybe somebody said at school that their uncle is a movie star. Or that they can lift 100 pounds over their head. Or that they fought off a wild animal with their bare hands. You're probably smart to doubt those stories, but today we're talking about someone who doubted a true story. He just needed a little extra help. Let's talk about the story of Doubting Thomas. Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples. Jesus died on the cross and rose again. So he went to go see his disciples. When he appeared before them, he showed them the scars he suffered from the cross. All of the disciples were really excited to see him, but one of them wasn't there. And that disciple was Thomas. So all the disciples went to go find him and told him what they saw. Thomas said he wouldn't believe it unless he saw it. Once they told Thomas their crazy story about seeing Jesus, Thomas wouldn't believe them. Can you blame him? Would you believe someone if they told you someone died and came back to life? My guess is that you'd act like Thomas and be pretty doubtful. So Thomas told them that he'd believe it when he saw Jesus himself. Jesus came back just for Thomas. About a week later, Jesus appeared before Thomas. He wanted him to believe too. So he showed him the scars on his hands. And he even let Thomas touch them so that he could be extra sure that it was him. And then Jesus told him something very important. Memory verse. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. From then on, Thomas believed, so we should too. Jesus calls us blessed for believing in him. Kids, did you know that it's normal to doubt God sometimes? And did you know that God doesn't get mad at us when we do? In fact, Jesus told something else to Thomas that we can learn from. Then Jesus told him, You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe me without seeing me. Jesus knew that it would be hard sometimes to believe him when we've never seen him. But when we do believe in him, he calls us blessed. So kids, if you haven't started believing in Jesus and you want to, talk to a parent or teacher about it. So next time you feel like you're doubting God, remember the story of Thomas. And remember, God can show us what we need so we can believe.
When his friends told him that Jesus was alive and that they had seen him, Thomas could not accept what he had been told. It simply did not seem possible. So let us spend time now with the God of the impossible as I lead us on a 5-minute guided meditation as we reflect on Thomas and ourselves as we come to church this morning, and your own journey of faith and perhaps doubt. Doubt journeying towards deeper faith. The things that you bring today, things on your heart, people, situations, struggles, impossibilities, disappointments. So we're going to share in a guided meditation exploring Thomas's story. And you may like to close your eyes as I read and as we listen and take time. In the quiet, imagine the scene in the room on that first Easter day. Can you imagine Thomas's face when he was told afterwards what the others had seen? Thomas knew Jesus had died on the cross. He had seen him die. He was sad, depressed, beaten. How often do our faces look like that? Now think of your own face. What is it in your life that makes your face look weary of the world? That makes you doubt? Imagine that you are looking into a mirror and see that look on your face. Do you feel like Thomas? Do you think that everything is finished, that nothing can be done? Do you think that there is no good that can come out of your situation? Let us go back to the room. Thomas has now been told that Jesus has appeared to the others. Watch his face. Imagine the mix of emotions showing there. There'll be a look of defeat, with just a bit of hope creeping in. But that would be knocked down by Thomas's practical nature and replaced with sheer disbelief. Look at yourself in the mirror again. Now think, what would you like God to do for you? How could God change your situation? Do you see the hope creeping onto your face? Is it swept aside by disbelief? Do you feel that God could not do that for you? Do you feel that God would not do that for you? Let us visit Thomas again. A week has gone by and Thomas is in the same room with the other disciples. Then something amazing happens. Jesus appears through locked doors. He speaks to Thomas. Thomas responds, "My Lord and my God." What expression do you see on Thomas's face now? There is no doubt. Jesus has done what Thomas thought impossible. Thomas's face must shine with wonder and adoration. Jesus was killed, and yet he is alive. He showed himself to many people. He showed himself to Thomas, Thomas who doubted. He gave Thomas just what he needed. So let us come back to you. Look in your imaginary mirror again. How would you express yourself if you knew God was responding to your needs? Jesus knows your needs. Needs as unique as your handprints that we have cut out earlier. Jesus knows that you too struggle to comprehend that he can do the incredible, change the impossible. Turn to him now. Let him show you how much he wants to do for you. Let his light stream through the clouds of doubt. Join with Thomas in saying, "My Lord and my God." Take the hand of the Lord of the impossible. Expect your face to reflect his light and power. Expect great things of our great God. living Lord. Thank you for turning death to life, doubt to faith, fear to trust. Amen. We can open our eyes. I'm just going to pause and just ask if anyone has any reflections that they would like to share about our theme today and what we've shared. Well, I'm going to, sorry, yes. Thank you, Elizabeth. Refreshment of soul, mind, and body. Yes, thank you. Yes. Thank you. Heidi. I'll just repeat that just so that anyone who couldn't hear, that you're testifying to how God always shows up, that his bounty is there, and in the valleys and the high places, he is there and he shows himself. Yeah, thank you. That's right. He was a follower of Jesus before, and from this moment afterwards, he went on, didn't he, to become a great missionary and apostle to as far as India. So perhaps when we label him Doubting Thomas, actually, you know, there's much more in there, isn't there?
Yes.
Yeah. And more. Heather. The twin, that's right. Yes, and that's what it means, isn't it, Didymus, the twin, yes, of Matthew, yeah. No, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Yes, Dory. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a lovely place just to wrap things up. He may have been a doubter, but he did great things, and that can be true for each one of us as well. He'll take our doubt, and I think like polishing rust off to bright, shining chrome, there's that work of polishing doubt that eventually the light comes through, and we see. Thank you. And thank you for all those contributions and the ones unspoken as well, that I'm sure that have helped us on our way. So I'm going to ask Ali now to come and lead us in our prayers for others. Thank you, Ali.
We have a response for the prayers of intercession, which will come up. And when I say, God in whom we believe, can you respond with, bless them? God in whom we believe, bless them. Father, you call us to be people of faith, yet we are often people with doubts. We doubt that love can grow again in relationships where anger and bitterness reign supreme. You know the strength of love and power of prayer. Help us to love faithfully. Father, we lift to you all those struggling with hurt, anger, or bitterness. God, in whom we believe, bless them. We doubt that peace can come in the Middle East, where hatred and racism reign supreme. We doubt that peace can come elsewhere in the world where there is conflict. But you know peace, if growing there, you know that peace is growing there. Help us to be faithful peacemakers, praying for this region and others and its people. God, in whom we believe, bless them. We doubt that the hungry can be fed in Africa and other parts of the world where they are struggling to put food on the table. Even in our own island, people are struggling with despair and hopelessness. Father, you know that there is enough food in the world for everyone. Help us to be generous and faithful to those in need. God, in whom we believe, bless them. This morning we pray for people here who are filled with doubts, who wonder whether you exist, whether you are listening to our prayers, who wonder what this whole community is about. God, in whom we believe, bless them. We lift to you people who are struggling in grief, in health, and maybe financially. Father, you know their needs. Be alongside them and give them strength. God, in whom we believe, bless them. We pray for people who wonder about the purpose of life and their purpose here on earth. People who face feelings of meaninglessness and despair and are struggling to face each day. We sometimes have that sinking feeling too. Give us the wisdom to turn to you and to point others to you too. God, in whom we believe, bless them and us. Lord, we want to believe. Help our unbelief. Give us faith, small as a mustard seed, so that we can be your faithful people, believing in your power to save, believing in your power to reign supreme, believing that with your help we can share this good news with everyone we meet. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let us bring these prayers to the Lord with the prayer that he gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we're now going to sing again. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You can either remain seated or stand if you want to give your legs a bit of exercise.
Simple prayer of thanksgiving at the Lord's table. Let us pray. Thank you for the cross. my friend Jesus. Now I can be certain of the extent of your love, not just for me, but for the whole world. Now I can be certain forgiveness is full and free. Thank you for the cross, Lord Jesus, and thank you for the empty tomb. Now I can be certain death is not the end. Darkness is followed by light, and the worst thing is not the last thing. And so we come, Lord Jesus, with full and thankful hearts today, welcomed as guests at your table. We look back and remember how, with your friends in the upper room, you took bread in your hands of compassion. You gave thanks and you broke the bread and gave it to your disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." And after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, Lord, gather us in unity. Restore the broken life of your creation. Heal the disfigured body of your world. Draw us into new life. Send down your Spirit, we pray, upon these gifts and upon our lives. You take us, you love us just as we are. We come trusting in your mercy. We know we are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table, but it is your nature always to have mercy, and on that we depend. So feed us with the body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we may forever live in him and he in us. Amen. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So as we receive bread and wine around the tables, may we know his living presence, his transforming love, deeper faith for our doubts. We're going to bring a saucer of bread for each table. And I'd ask you to pass the bread around and to hold it in your hand. And Ali had the lovely suggestion that we could eat at the same time together. And then we will do the same with the wine. We will pass the wine to each person, and you can just place it on the table in front of you, and then we will drink together. So thank you, Doreen. Eleanor? Okay. So you just hold the bread in your hand. Body of Christ, keep you and me in eternal life. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father of heavenly lights, founder of wisdom and love, all is laid bare in your sight, you know my ways. I believe you.
The blood of Christ, shed for you and for me, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we have seen your wounds. And by your wounds, we are healed. Now, Lord, we give ourselves to you. You send us out into our homes and families, to touch those wounded places and lives, and be a channel of your love and your healing. Lord, you gave your life for us, and now we give our lives to you. Send us from here with strong hope, confidence, and faith, until we see you face to face in that heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. Now we're going to dedicate our offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, thankful for all your gifts, we dedicate these gifts of money and those given directly, and with them ourselves in your service. May these gifts and our lives be messages of good news to all. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been lovely. Yes, please be seated. It's been lovely to share with you and to have Christine here again, and just seeing that reunion as you came in, particularly with Heidi. I think you said, "Are my eyes deceiving me?" It was a lovely moment of that reunion, that face-to-face, and it just showed me a picture of that reunion that we will have with the risen Lord, when faith will be no more, and we will see our friend Jesus face-to-face. So we're going to conclude our worship. I do apologise that I've gone over the time of our normal altogether for worship, but it's been a wonderful time of fellowship and sharing. And we've chosen this final hymn. It begins with the line, "In my wrestling, in my doubt." And it affirms the Lord is there, our lighthouse, bringing us safe to shore. So join in if you've got an instrument. Feel free to play it.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are